Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 9th August 2022. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be starting our puja. So Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Po. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Po. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Po. Namo Quan Sing Pusa, Namo Quan Sing Pusa, Namo Quan Sing Pusa, Namo Ami Topo, Namo Ami Topo, Namo Ami Topo, Namo Milopo, Namo Milopo, Namo Milopo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Dijang Wang Pusa, Namo Dijang Wang Pusa, Namo Dijang Wang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava, Buddhang Bhagavanta, Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pama dachana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us turn to page 3 of the chanting moment. You can be seated. Then we will chant the Padipa Puja. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarapa ditena, ditena tamadang sina, diloka dipang sambudang, pujayami tamonodang, ganda sambarayutena, dopena hang sugang hina, Puja ye puja niyang tang, puja bhajana mutamang, Vanna-gandha-gono-petang etang-kasuma-santapin Pujayami-munindasa-siri-pada-saro-rohe Pujayami-bhutang-kasumena-mena Punnena-mateena-cha-hotu-mokhang Upang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante aniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigam hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante Pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. Pay this offering of light to the Buddha, brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cold water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One. Which is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making our overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, on all these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception. Especially to those that have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us pay respect, Kripa Chan. Bhutan Pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. So as usual, we are off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Yes. Relax body and mind completely and maintain silent. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just let things be. Maintain the silent mind to be aware. That's it. Whatever arise, away finish. Whatever arise, away finish. The awareness that can be maintained will be able to realize the true mind. When your thoughts cease, sankhara activity cease, then there is no more activity of mind, or what they call aggregates of mind arising. Then the mind become very quiet, and suddenly it become very still. That stillness of mind, the silent mind, is your true mind, your awareness nature within. So awareness-based meditation is to realize that. That's why we recommended the four support for awareness-based meditation to be developed. The first support is, like I said just now, relax. There will be no meditation if you don't know how to relax. You need to relax both body and mind completely until the body and mind become very natural. It is very quiet. Don't do anything. Let it settle down and be at peace with nature. After you relax, you maintain awareness, just maintain awareness, aware. To be aware, you need to be silent. The moment you are silent, you are aware. So that silence, which is awareness, is not a mind moving. It's not a thought. It's the awareness before the knowing. Means when you are just aware, before the perception come in, before the thinking come in, the activity of mind come in, before the reaction of mind comes in. So all this, initially, they will be there because during the day, you didn't have the ability to develop the stability or the five spiritual qualities. These spiritual faculties can enable you to develop the stability of mind to overcome the mental hindrance, the opposite mind. And because they are not there, you don't have the stability of this five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. That's why you have this mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt keep on arising. And this one has become so habitual. Until you don't know what to do with it, the heedless thinking continue, the proliferation of mind continue, the inner chattering, the inner verbalization, the reaction to sense experience, the thinking, they continue to proliferate. That's why you cannot meditate, because mental hindrance are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. Excuse me. The meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Okay, then the third support is maintain the awareness for as long as you can, technically 24 hours. Excuse me. Then the final support is trust your nature to do the meditation. There is no interference from your thought process. Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation, and we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the nintis come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhalang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti beso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho Vicca charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusānaṃ Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhitiko Akaliko Tehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditago Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samijapatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipano bhagavato savaka sango Yadidam chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkhineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyam Ketam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. And we shall continue from where we stop. We are at page 391 of this, the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Power Sutta. Okay. Although he read and recited many sutras or scriptures, at that time the Bodhisattva, seeker of pain, Maitreya, one of the 800 disciples, read and recited the sutta. Like now in the morning, the three who have left home, along with several lay people, recite the Surangama mantra, the Vajra sutta, and the Heart sutta. It would be good to recite the Great Compassion mantra 21 times. The Sikh respond, and whatever you seek, you may obtain. He recite the Great Compassion Mantra, the lecture hall will be filled with a rare fragrance, as that state arises when one recites it. He recites sutras sincerely. A rare fragrance may also manifest. How does that happen? When you recite the sutta, heavenly beings or maidens, they will scatter flowers and the fragrance will manifest. But you must recite with a sincere heart in the same way that you must make offering to the Triple Gem with a sincere heart. You have a sincere heart when you recite a single sentence of the sutra. You can startle heaven and move the earth. The gods and spirits in heaven and earth will all know about you. If you don't have a sincere heart, you can recite the entire sutra, and all you do is striking out false thinking. What false thinking do you strike out? You think, and the thought say, I am reciting the sutra today. I wonder if anyone will send me offerings. I am reciting the sutra so I can get offerings. If you have that kind of false thinking, then no one will make offering to you. Why? Because your heart is filled with a wish, a desire, a craving for offering, and so they do not appear. You have thought it is false thought or false thinking. The thought arising is just false thought. Without thought, you may obtain a response. You do not seek offering, and they come. That is a response. Although he read and recited many scriptures, not one scripture or sutra, but a lot of them, he did not comprehend them. He couldn't remember them. You can't remember them, then you remember the first paragraph and forget the last part. Or remember the last part and forget the first part. If you remember the first and the last, you forget the middle part. And you can't recite it. You have to listen to others and follow along with them. If you do that, the merits and virtue is theirs, but not yours. Do you understand? You must be able to recite them on your own. You must comprehend them, recite them yourself, understand them, and be well-versed in them. Well-versed, you can recite them from the first part to the very end, remembering them all. Now, he read and recited them, but he can't remember them, and forget most of what he learned. He didn't really recite. He recited the first part and forgot the last, forgetting the whole lot of it. For that reason, he was called the seeker of fame. I believe that he probably did not give himself this name. Someone else probably gave it to him, saying, all you do is seek fame and seek profit. We will just call you the seeker of fame, Bodhisattva, because he had also planted good roots. Although he was called seeker of fame, he had also planted many good roots and cultivated many practices, cultivating blessings and cultivating wisdom. He was able to encounter limitless hundreds of thousands of tens of thousands of millions of Buddhas, making offering to them and honoring them, venerating and practicing, praising them. He made offering to limitless Buddhas, honored them, venerated, and praised them. Then we go on to the next part of the sutta. Maitreya, it should be known, could the Bodhisattva wondrous light have been anyone else? I myself was he. And the Bodhisattva seeker of fame was you. Yourself. Then the commentaries. Maitreya, it should be known, could the Bodhisattva wondrous light have been anyone else? Do you know who he was? He wasn't anybody else. But who? I myself was he. He was just me, Manjushri Bodhisattva. Do you remember? And the Bodhisattva seeker framed just who was he? You yourself, you Maitreya Buddha, Maitreya Bodhisattva, you were the one who saw the fame and profit. But now, you have improved yourself a lot and make a lot of progress compared to the way you used to be. So the potent now, sin, do not differ from those. And so, in my estimation today, the task of one is about to speak a great vehicle sutta called the wondrous Dhamma lotus flower, a wonderful, a sutra or a Dhamma for instructing bodhisattvas of which the Buddha is protective and mindful of. The conclusion, next part, commentary. The potential sin. When Maitreya Bodhisattva heard Manjusri Bodhisattva gave away his previous identity as the Bodhisattva who sought fame, he had already gotten rid of his mark of self. Consequently, he wasn't embarrassed and he didn't feel embarrassed at all. All you do is talk about my bad points. You are really rude. He didn't think that way either. Manjusri Bodhisattva said to him, I now see Sakyamuni Buddha emitting the white hair mark like along with the other potents. Six in all directions, and they are just the same as those previously manifested by the Buddha brightness of sun, moon, lamp. They do not differ from those. Those refer to the potents manifested by the Buddha sun, moon, lamp brightness. Now refer to those now manifested by Sakyamuni Buddha. The potents or potents are the same. And so in my estimation, because of this, I now calculate, think about it. Actually, my Manjusri Bodhisattva didn't need to think about it. He knew it all along. But he echoed the worldly methods and said, I have thought it over, and it is my considered opinion that today the Dhamma one is about to speak a great vehicle sutra called the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutra. That was its title. A Dhamma for instructing bodhisattvas of which the Buddha is protective and mindful. Then the actual sutra. At that time, Manjusri, in the midst of the assembly, wishing to restate his meaning, spoke verses saying, I recall that in ages past, limitless, countless eons ago, there appeared a Buddha, one honored among people, by the name of brightness of the sun, moon, lamp. That world-honored one proclaimed the Dhamma, taking limitless living beings across, causing countless millions of bodhisattvas to enter the wisdom of the Buddha. There we go to the commentaries. Eh? At that time, Manjusri, in the midst of the assembly, wishing to restate his meaning, thinking to repeat the principle once again, spoke verses saying, I recall that in ages past, Manjusri Bodhisattva says, I myself remember that in the past, a long time ago, limitless, countless eons ago, there appeared a Buddha, one honored among people, a Buddha who was venerated by both gods and humans, by the name of brightness of sun, moon, lamp. That world-honored one proclaimed the Dhamma, the wonderful Dhamma of the great vehicle, taking limitless living beings across. He saved and liberated an unlimited number of them. It is not known how many beings he saved, causing countless millions of bodhisattvas to enter the wisdom of the Buddha. And next part of the sutta. Before that, Buddha had left home. The eight royal sons born to him, seeing the great sage leave his home, also followed him to practice the Brahmin conduct. Commentary. Before the Buddha left home, before the Buddha brightness of Sun Moon Lam left home, the eight royal sons born to him, seeing the great sage leave his home, they knew that their father, the great sage, had left home, also followed him to practice the Brahman conduct. They also renounced their kingdom, cities, wife, and children. They gave them away and followed their father to leave home and cultivate the clear, pure Brahman conduct. Then we go to the sutta. The Buddha then spoke a great Vaika sutta by the name of Limitless Principle. Amidst the assembly and for their sake, he set it forth in extensive detail. When the Buddha had finished speaking, the sutta seated in the Dhamma seat, he sat in full lotus and entered the samadhi, called the station of limitless principle. From the heavens, fall a rain of mandarava flower, and heavenly drums of themselves did sound. While all the gods, dragons, ghosts, and spirits make offerings to the only one, and within all the Buddha lands, there occurred a mighty trembling. The light emitted from between the Buddha's brow manifested all these rare events. Commentaries. The Buddha then spoke a great Vahika. The Buddha brightness of Sun Moon Lam spoke a great Vahika Sutra. Sutra by the name of Limitless Principle, amidst the assembly for the sake of the Bodhisattvas. In the great assembly, he set it forth in extensive detail. For the sake of the assembly, he spoke it in fine detail, explaining the wonderful principle of the sutra. When the Buddha had finished speaking the sutras of Limitless Principle, while seated in the Dhamma seat, he was then sitting in the Dhamma seat where one sits while lecturing in the sutta, on the sutta. He sat in full lotus and entered the samadhi, which when he crossed his legs, sat in the lotus position and entered the stations of limitless principle. That was the name of the samadhi. From the heaven fall a rain of mandarava flowers. At that time, the god sends down a rain of little white flowers and big white flowers, as well as little red flowers and big red flowers, and heavenly drums of themselves did sound. In the heavens, the celestial drums sounded without being struck, while all the gods, dragons, ghosts, and spirits, the ghosts and all the dragons and all the ghosts and spirits make offering to the honored one. They all make offering to the Buddha, to the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And within all the Buddha land, at that time, in all the land of Buddha, there occurred a mighty trembling. The light emitted from between the Buddha's brow. The Buddha emitted white hair, dark light, from between his eyebrow, which manifested all these rare events. A great many rare and unprecedented things appear. So this part is mainly on the description of what happened when the Buddha was about to start sharing that sutta. Okay, we read on. Sutra. The light illuminated to the east 18,000 Buddha land, revealing the place of living beings, coming retribution of birth and death. Seen two Buddha lands adorned with a multitude of gems, the color of lapis, lazuli, and crystals illuminated by the Buddha's light. Seen as well were gods and people, dragons, spirits, and yakas hordes, Gandavas and Kinaras, each making offerings to the Buddha. Thus come one, two, all were seen as they naturally accomplished the Buddha way. Their bodies heal like mountains of gold, upright, serene, subtle, and fine, as within pure lapis lazuli would appear an image of real gold. The well-honored one in those assembly proclaimed the profound principle of the law in all the Buddha lands, where Savaka hosts uncountable through the illumination of the Buddha's light. Those assembly all were fully seen. There were also bhikkhu who dwell within the mountain groves, vigorously upholding the pure precept as if guiding brilliant peers. Also seen were bodhisattvas practicing giving, patience, and so forth. Their numbers, like the Ganges sand illuminated by the Buddha's light, so too were bodhisattvas who had deeply entered Dhyan Samadhi. With bodies and minds still and unmoving, they sought the way unsurpassed. Bodhisattvas too were seen, who knew the mark of Dhamma's still extinction. Each one within his Buddha land spoke Dhamma, seeks the Buddha's power. Commentaries. The light illuminated to the east, the light shone into the eastern direction. How far did it shine? 18,000 Buddha land. 18,000 Buddha lands represent the 18 realms of senses, revealing the place of living beings. The Buddha pointed out the place of all living beings, where there is karmic retribution of birth and death, where they were born and die, die and were reborn, the karmic retribution of their birth and death. What is karmic retribution? It is because we people give rise to delusion. Giving rise to delusion is the production of ignorance. Once there is ignorance, then there is karmic activity, and karma is created. That's why the first two links of the Paticca-samuppada, avijja paccaya sankhara. After karma has been created, one necessarily undergoes retribution. In the light of the Buddha, these various circumstances appear. Seen through were Buddha lands adorned. Some people saw other Buddha lands decorated with a multitude of gems. Various kinds of treasure were used to ornament the Buddha land. The color of lapis, lazuli, and crystal. Some of the land were adorned with lapis, lazuli, and others with crystal illuminated by the Buddha's light. It was through the illumination of the Buddha's light that these things were revealed. Seen as well were gods and people. Not only were all the lands with their splendid and beautiful adornment seen, but also seen were all the gods in the heavens, dragons, spirits, and yaka hosts. The dragons were there too, and the spirits and the gods are sown. Gandhavas and Kinaras, the two classes of musician spirits, each making offerings to the Buddha. The god dragons and the rest of the eightfold division all brought forth their hearts to present offerings and make offerings to the Buddha. Thus come one to all was seen. Also seen were all the Buddhas in other lands, as they naturally accomplished the Buddha's way. They brought forth the Bodhi heart, good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end, right up till they become Buddhas, naturally realizing the Buddha path. Their body is huge like mountains of gold. Their body were the color of golden mountains, the color of brandish purple gold, upright, serene, subtle, and fine. The Buddha has 32 major hallmarks and 80 minor characteristics, and is very majestic and fine. As within pure lapis lazuli, he is just like within the pure cylinder of lapis lazuli, will appear an image of real gold. The well-honored one in those assembly, all the limitless Buddhas in the assembly, in the other Buddha lands, proclaim the profound principles of the law. They set forth and make known the extremely deep purport of the Dhamma in all the Buddha's land, in all the Buddha's land in other worlds. Vasavaka hosts, uncountable, through the illumination of the Buddha's light. Because the Buddha brightness of Sanmun Lam emitted the white hair mark light illuminating them, those assembly were all fully seen. There were also bhikkhu who had left home, bhikkhus or bhikkhunis dwelling within the mountain groups. They live in the mountains, deep in the woods, in secluded valley, places where no one ever goes, vigorously upholding the pure precepts. They were vigorous day and night. Day and night they never rest. In what way were they vigorous? They forget about eating. They forgot about sleeping. They forgot about wearing clothes. Then what did they think of? They only thought to cultivate the way with vigor. They were perpetually vigorous in the six periods of the day and night, always vigorous. What are the six periods of the day and night? During the day, there are three: the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, and the end of the day. During the night, there is also this tree: the beginning of the night, the middle of the night, and the end of the night. The six periods of day and night, they cultivate. They vigorously uphold the pure precepts, the clear, pure, precious precept, as if guiding brilliant bows. They kept the clear, pure, bright Vajra precept, just like the dragons stood guard over their dragon bow. Those who have left home who uphold precepts, 1% have 1% of light. For those who uphold 10% have 10% of light. If you uphold them fully, 100%, you will have 100% of the light. The light is produced through the precept, through samadhi, and through wisdom. If you don't hold the precept, you will have no light. If you like to have light, you must hold the precept. Cultivating is not simply done to obtain light, but even up to the realization of Buddhahood. Unless you keep the precept, you won't be able to realize Buddhahood. Therefore, if you like to become a Buddha, you must keep the precept. The precepts are the most basic and most important thing. There are 10 Shramanera precepts and 250 bhikkhu precepts. The study of the precept is the most important. Those who have left home absolutely must follow the precepts. If they do not, they are no different from the people. Therefore, if you wish to realize the Buddha way, you must start out by holding the precept. That is why in the Dhamma Flower Sutta, a great emphasis is placed upon the precepts. The precepts prohibit one from talking casually or in a confused manner, speaking in terms of right and wrong. You cannot, through speech, cause living being to become afflicted. It is said, guard your mouth, collect your thoughts, and with your body, don't transgress. Don't cause trouble for any living things. Stay far away from useless bitter practices. A cultivator like this can save the world. You should guard your mouth. How do you do it? You ask. Just don't confusedly prattle. Keep your mouth shut like a bottle. Don't talk all day. talking about the useful and talking about the useless. If you do that, you are not guarding your mouth. Collect your thoughts. What does it mean? If you collect your thoughts, then not only will you never say harmful things, but you will not even have evil thoughts within your mind. Your mind won't think about other people's right and wrong, and your mouth won't agitate about them. Your mind will not think about right and wrong. This one is to transcend duality, because right and wrong, pleasant, unpleasant, good and bad, they are all duality. With your body, don't transgress. What does it mean? Means you cannot break the precept physically with your body. Don't cause trouble for any living beings. What does it mean? You should not hinder any living beings in the world. To say nothing of people, you shouldn't even cause trouble for an animal or an insect. Stay far away from useless bitter practices. What does it mean? It means don't adopt bitter practices, which is unbeneficial to you, to society, and to the world in general. These are mainly referred to self-mortification. A cultivator like this can save the world. What does it mean? One who cultivates this way can teach and transform living beings. Therefore, they keep and hold the precepts, just as they would guard a precious jewel. Perhaps they have precious bowl, or perhaps a night-like bowl, or a wind-proofing bowl, or a waterproofing bowl, or a fireproofing bowl. If you have a wind-proofing bowl, you will not be bothered by windstorm. With waterproofing bowl, the flood won't come, and with the fire proving pole, then everyone in your neighborhood will be able to borrow its light, and the house will not catch fire. If you have such a precious gem, won't you take special care of it? You would always protect the jewel. Holding the precept is just like guarding such precious gem. And so the text says, as if guiding prison poles. Also seen were bodhisattvas within the white hair mark, like emitted by the Buddha, brightness of sun moon lamp. All the bodhisattvas were seen, a great many of them practicing giving, means dana, patience, kanti, and so forth. They cultivate the six perfection of parameters. The previous verse spoke of the bodhisattva practicing the perfection of morality, now the perfection of giving and patience are mentioned, and so forth refers to remaining perfection, that is dhyana, samadhi, vigor, and prajna. All six are included. Giving is of three types: the giving of wealth or materialistic giving, the giving of truth, the Dhamma, and the giving of fearlessness or giving of life. If you have money, you may give money. If you understand the Buddha Dharma, you give the Buddha Dharma. If you help others, causing them to get rid of their fear in their heart, that is called the giving of fearlessness. Patience is also of three kinds: patient with production, patient with Dhamma, and patient with non-production of Dhamma, and so forth. All the perfections were practiced. Their number, like the Ganges sand, how many bodhisattvas were there practicing the six perfections and the 10,000 conducts? There were as many as the grains of sand in the Ganges River. They gave away their kingdom, cities, wife, and children. Now, when I was lecturing this sutta 3 weeks ago, referring to Master Shenhua, he said that someone had given his wife away And there was a wife who asked me, if someone was able to give his wife away, wouldn't it be possible to give one's husband away? I told the questioner, you should go at this gradually. Don't be so nervous. The problem is very difficult to solve. However, and so I told her, if you want to give away your husband, you will first have to find someone who wants to take him. If someone wants him, you can give him away. But if no one wants him, who are you going to give him to? Today she hasn't found anyone to take him. In the future, if she finds someone, she can give him away. For now, she will just have to wait. This one, I think, don't have to worry about it now, because you can only perfect that part of me when you have the causes and conditions. So don't go and waste your time using your thought process to try to understand how can a cultivator give away their wife and their children, their loved ones. No doubt from ancient time until the present day, this is the first person who has ever wanted to give away her husband. And just who is this person? I don't know either. But I thought I would tell you about it anyway. So there were as many bodhisattvas as the grains of sand in the Ganges River, and they were illuminated by the Buddha's light. Because of light of the Buddha shone on them, all these states were visible. What's the time now? Oh, almost 9:30, right? Okay, I will go on for a while more. Sintu were bodhisattvas who were not just all the ones mentioned above, but again, there were seen bodhisattvas who had deeply entered Dhyan Samadhi. What is meant by deeply entering? It means that with the full attention devoted to their work, they meditated throughout the six periods of day and night. You don't meditate throughout the six periods of day and night, then you haven't deeply entered. Those who cultivate the way must do it with a true heart. Without a true heart, how can you expect to attain the way? You must offer up your true heart, and then not only can you attain the way, but you can become a Buddha too. So bring forth the resolve. Bring forth your heart and make it solid, sincere and constant. Your heart must be solid. You can't say today I have a solid heart, but tomorrow I am likely to change. When tomorrow comes, and you have changed, you are no longer solid. A sincere heart means that you actually and responsibly do the work. Constantly means that you just persevere. You must persevere. It's not just a matter of day and night, but at all times, constantly, you must do the same. Last summer, during the study and meditation session, many were very sincere in their study of the Buddha Dhamma. They were sincere to the point that they even studied when it was time to sleep. The summer session was a very short period of time. You brought forth the heart to cultivate the way for that time. But you must cultivate and study the Buddha Dhamma like that forever. That counts as being true. Deeply entering Dhyan Samadhi means to work hard at one's cultivation constantly. So it's like the word ever mindful, constantly meditative means heedfulness. The body and mind still and unmoving. Still and unmoving means they have entered Samadhi. That's why Samadhi is unwavering, collected. They didn't fake thinking, my leg hurts, and then rearrange them, or my back aches, and then lean backward against the wall. They didn't do anything like that because their bodies and mind were still and unmoving. They sorted the way unsurpassed. They used determination and skill like this to seek the supreme path. Okay, we got one more part to cover. Bodhisattvas too were seen, who knew the mark of numbers till extinction. Also seen were very many bodhisattvas who understood the mind, the mark of the still extinction of number. The mark of still extinction is just the mark of nirvana. Nirvana is a still extinction. And still extinction is nirvana. That's why nirvana is cessation of form and mind. They knew the wondrous or wonderful aspect of nirvana. Each one within his Buddha land, each one of the bodhisattvas within their own Buddha land spoke Dhamma, seeking the Buddha's power. They taught and proclaimed the Buddha Dhamma. By speaking the Dhamma, one increases one's blessings and wisdom, and they delegate the merits and virtue, thus echoed to the Buddha way. Okay, we stop here. I mark this page. This is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
Yeah, good evening, Brother Nogamita. I just want to make some reporting on my last previous retreat. Is it?
Oh, very good. Oh, yeah, you went with Brother Songdale. Yeah.
Yeah. For the past few rounds of retreats, I was only able to do lying down meditations, but when I did the sitting meditation, there was a lot of like some thought around, you see. But this time, I managed to do the sitting again. But the thing is, like the chattering mind is still there. Yet
okay.
I'm still able to observe the you know, the heart beating throughout the whole session. You see, so it's like two sounds consistently. You know, while I'm hearing the sounds, my heartbeat. At the same time, you know, the chattering is like a radio, is it non-stop?
The brain activity.
Yes, that's right. So it's just that this time I'm able to do lying down and also sitting, is it? Not like last time whereby I need to struggle to
okay.
track the times.
Okay.
So it's just that it take me a while, see, to sort of like to be with it, see, to accept that, you know, the chattering mind is always there.
Yeah, to stabilize it.
But it's,
do you have any question?
Yeah, this is what I noticed in meditations, and in the retreats, I was listening to your talk, and I noticed that listen attentively is very, very important.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah, when you are attentive, the way you listen is different because you listen from your silent mind without the brain or the memory or the conditioning, views, opinion, and all those things interfering. Then that type of listening is very different. That one is the true art of listening. You listen direct from the silent mind. You don't comment, you don't do anything, you just listen. Means you listen to what arises. When you do that, there is no interference from your memory, your views, your opinion, your belief system, your conditioning. There is no right, no wrong, you just listen. At that time of listening is different. You will understand. Like that day in the black trip there, I think there was one instance where I tried to explain to my daughter when we were at the wedding there very loud and the they were singing all the celebration, the karaoke song. So that very loud environment and all those things, people were talking, chatting. No problem. You stay at the heart. You listen from the heart. It's so different from most people who are healers, who doesn't know how to listen from the heart, they stay at the brain. At the brain, that is where your views, opinion, conditioning, and sankara activities are. That is where thoughts keep on arising. So that one will have its own heedless way of listening, thinking, responding, reacting, and all those things. That one is not the art of listening. But when you listen from the heart, without all this brain activity coming in to influence or cause anything, it becomes so different. Means you listen to truth, you listen to reality. You want to know, you can know. You don't want to know, it is just the way it is. That's why you will start to understand the Dhamma differently, the teaching differently. Because when you listen attentively, the word is attentively, like what Jin Hao now is trying to share and explain what happened. When you are at a retreat, the environment is more conducive for you to silence, attentively listen. And when you can do it, it becomes very different. That listening will enable you to take in, absorb, and understand differently. Then you realize it is so different from normal listening. There are things that you're never able to pay attention to. When you listen attentively, that thing surface, you can understand. And it becomes like, how come last time I didn't get it? I cannot understand what was spoken or shared. And suddenly now everything like very clear. And this one comes in stages, depending on your understanding, depending on your ability to listen attentively. If you listen attentively from your heart, it is very different. But initially, never mind, like I tell Siri, initially when you listen, because your habitual tendency is you're always at the brain there. You think from there, you do a lot of things from there. So when you listen from the heart, it's like sometimes not connected on the thing. Like what is being spoken, because you stay at the heart, like there is a missing gap or missing link. Never mind. Yeah, let it be. Cannot hear the full thing, also never mind. Stay at the heart. Until you stabilize the ability to hear or listen from the heart. When that moment arises, then you realize there is no gap one. You don't need the brain to develop understanding of what is being heard or shared. That is the amazing part of cultivation. When you listen from the heart, means from your true mind, from the awareness nature, that listening is so different. That one is like completely different way of listening. We call it the art of listening. You listen with clarity, with understanding, not conditioned or influenced by anything, especially memories. The accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, your phobia, your scars of memory, all the things, belief system, all of that. They stay in the memory. Your duty is to be with the moment in the silent awareness to listen attentively. No comparing, no dialogue, nothing. Just listen. Then if it's the truth, you can absorb, you can understand. If it's not the truth, also you can understand. Yeah, that is the way things are. Nature is the way it is. That's why duality becomes not important. Because duality is the way of the conditional. It's not the unconditioned. Dhamma exists within the conditional. You understand all this. So all this are the wisdom that arise through the direct seeing, through the constantly ability to develop the silent mind, to see, to listen, to hear, to do everything you want to do in life. You can stay at the heart. You don't have to be at the brain. But sometimes you need memory, those useful memory, non-psychological, appropriate, useful memory. You need to recall them. Then you go to the brain, no problem. But when you are very well versed at the heart, when you go to the brain, it's not like you go there and stay there. No, it's like a computer, random access memory. You need to access that memory, you access it. Then it will surface. Sometimes it's not there, never mind. You just let it be. Then it will come out somehow. When? I don't know. It depends on the condition. But sometimes when the condition is there, somebody say something, that's why sometimes I have to ask you, where were I? How come I speak on the Dhamma at this particular moment? What makes me do that? Then when you are able to tell me the thing or the whatever that happened before I spoke about it, then I will be able to connect because I will know how it come about. Because when you are having this, what they call awareness-based meditation, develop, stabilize, and transform, your brain become very different. Your aggregates of mind, the five aggregates of form and mind, even your brain, they become non-grasping. Non-grasping means you cannot hold on to it anymore. It's not like last time. The thing is non-grasping. The feeling also non-grasping. The thing that you perceive also, and you like, you cannot do the thing like you used to do. Purposely you want to remember, want to like recall it and all. You cannot do anything. Everything is dependent on generating condition, right? No condition, nothing happened. Nevermind. Nothing happened, nevermind. You cannot recall, nevermind. Blank, nevermind. Then let things be. Where there is the reality, you accept. Then you move. Then where there is condition, it will suffer. And you have to live with that understanding, that kind of mind state. That's how cultivation is being developed. That's how cultivation evolves and transform. You become awareness-based type of approach instead of the thought-based. The thought-based can never awaken you. So all this, the last few minutes that I share is very important for cultivators who have reached this point of understanding. You listen to it, it will help you. Yeah, this is the part I seldom emphasize on very much early on because very few people can understand all this. But nowadays it's different. Many of Kayamita can start to understand already. So that's why I can share all this now. Then at the retreat, I will share more of all this that cultivator in the past are not able to understand. But now the consciousness has evolved, it has become different. And there are some who can understand. Then there are some who will sooner or later understand. That's why all this sharing will come out on its own. My nature will never plan anything or do anything. But when condition is there, my nature will know. And this part of the sharing will come out. So now we come back to Chin Hao. The way you listen attentively, now you explain.
Yeah, brother, just now what you say, listening from the heart, it was quite interesting. May I know how do we develop the ability to listen from our heart?
You have to stabilize your Sati, mindfulness.
Yeah.
Because you know why, you're aware from the nature, means from the heart, awareness. Then that one must stabilize. Otherwise, you cannot stay here. You realize most of the time you are up here. For those who are not trained in awareness-based meditation, especially those who are heedless, don't have awareness at all, you cannot stay at the heart. You only stay at the heart sometime when you are emotional. Understand? Then you are very emotional. Something. And you must know what the heart is. The heart, there is this mind-based which is the gateway to our nature. That's one. The other one is the center there. The center one is the emotion. They call it the emotional body, where the emotions are all there. Emotion, you know what is it? The sankhara, mental states. Fear also here. That's why when lightning strike, when you are caught suddenly unaware, where does it fell? At the heart. The fear is at the heart. The fear is never at the brain. You realize that? Then when you think, the desire, the craving from the heart, it come up. That's why center is where the emotion is. Whereas the awareness is at the sight, the left. Most of the time it's at the left. But it will move. It will move. As it open up, it will move. But if you have the awareness base developed already, that nature, the whole thing is actually the awareness nature. But the gateway is there. And when you listen from there, this is where the seat of consciousness is. The life force, everything that arises from here, then this is the one that leads you to the gateway. Then when you have the ability to locate the gateway, and your yin and yang energy can melt inside and become pure energy, what happens is this pure energy will start to activate your internal, what they call nadis and chakras, the nerve centers. This is the real transformation from inside. I don't want to use the word opening chakra, because people do opening chakra for outside. Tempering, using the thought, they focus, they concentrate on external. But this one, through your gateway, the pure energy, without the interference of your thought process, your memory, your thinking, and all those things, that nature just do by itself. That's why the fourth support is trust. Trust your nature to do. Relax and maintain awareness until it detects that nature. Then the yin yang energy from external will melt inside and become pure energy. And this pure energy will be directed by your nature. But once you interfere with the thought, want to direct it with the thought, it's gone. It can never do its work really. You are interfering. It's just like before you have a deep sleep. You have a lot of thought activity. That's why people cannot have a good sleep or deep sleep unless you're very tired. That's why a lot of people go and exercise until they're very tired. Then they fall asleep. Then they become unconscious totally. Whereas a cultivator doesn't have to do that. You just relax, maintain awareness, you settle down. Then the sankhara activity all slow down. Then your spiritual faculty is there. Straight away your mind is in that tranquil state. Because the spiritual faculty means what? Saddha and virya. Saddha is the mind is very composed, very calm. It has faith. The composed mind, the calm mind. Then the virya is the one that prevents you from sleeping. That teaching. So that one makes you awake. Then sati is awareness without thought. That's why it's silent, tranquil. Then samadhi is the stability of that awareness. When you have samadhi, it's collected and unwavering. That's why this one does not stir, does not react, does not think, does not chatter, does not do all those things. So the spiritual faculty will make you have the ability to prevent the mental hindrance from arising, that it will enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness with the samadhi to make your mind tranquil and still, just away. Then that nature can see things as they are, awaken to develop the wisdom. That is how the spiritual faculty make you different, transform you to be in the meditative state. And that meditative state, technically, you don't have to train, you don't have to actually practice. Because if you don't know how to practice, you don't know how to train, you go and use the thought to practice and to train, then you are dead. So what you need is to be able to relax and maintain the awareness and the spiritual faculty of sati, stabilize it until that awareness nature become very stable. Then the mind will enter sati. Then when mind enters sati, it can see things in sati, hear in sati, smell, taste, tactile, feel and think in sati. That's how you can stay at the heart. So your question is how to stabilize it, how to stay at the heart. That one take time. You need to stabilize the awareness nature. Once that one comes, your daily mindfulness becomes automatic. But when you come out of it, you realize, hey, how come now my mind that is in sati do things differently? Every movement, every action is in sati. Every seeing is in sati. The thing that you see is no longer like last time. Specific phenomenal awareness, like the moving car. There is no concept of car. What is that thing? The awareness and the thing move. But you want to know? You can know. You want to perceive? You can perceive. You want to understand? You can. You want to stay there? You can. That's how you can be at the moment of perception, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of contact. The mind become like trained, aware. It's up to you to use it. It's no longer the other way around. The other way around is you cannot do anything to it. It becomes heedless. It has a habitual tendency. It keep on reacting, stirring, emotional. And it's like a monkey mind, chattering, verbalizing, doing all those funny things. Because consciousness trapped inside and you have the sense that you don't know what is going on. You keep on arising thought and you keep on thinking. You verbalize, you try to reason, you try to analyze, it creates more thought. That's why all this fail. So coming back to understanding meditation is very important. This one will also help me answer Chin Hao's initial reporting. He said last time he go to this retreat, he need the condition, he can only do the lying down. Every time he sits, Sankara is not just what he reports, because he still haven't developed the understanding of how to train the mind so that all this will not arise. Because the key thing is the four support. If you don't know how to relax and maintain awareness, then you will have this problem. Because you are so conditioned and the thought tell you, I must lie down. If I don't lie down, I become like very heedless. I think a lot, I have a lot of sankara, I cannot focus, I cannot concentrate. This is not about focusing and concentrating, it's about relaxing. Are you relaxed? When you are relaxed, you realize the mind settled down by itself. You don't have to do anything. But when you try to do something, the thought which is trying is making it more active. That's why when you cannot sleep, you want to sleep, it becomes worse. The insomnia aggravated, like become manifested and become like you whole night cannot sleep. Because your thought keep on telling you, you must sleep, you must sleep. Why did you allow the thought to be there? You just relax. Why can't you just relax into everything? Whatever arrives, let it arrive. Because your stability of mindfulness is not there. But when you relax and maintain awareness, then this awareness will stabilize. Because every time you aware, it stabilizes. Every time you aware, it stabilizes. That's why I say when you relax and maintain awareness, what do? Whatever arise, let it arise. Arise, aware of it, finish. Then silent again, relax, aware. Finish. Aware of what? Like tactile. Yeah? Contact. Aware. Finish. Even the sankara activity, that movement, respond to memory. Arise, you aware. Finish. Don't go and fear it. Don't go and tell yourself, you I still got thought. Then you try to suppress and control. You want to be peaceful. You are dead. Because that one is the thought-based type of approach. The thought want to meditate. The thought want to become peaceful, quiet, The thought want to do a lot of things. So who is doing? That's why I say don't try to do, don't try to know. There is no meditator inside that. If the meditator is the thought, you are dead. The so-called meditation is awareness based. You're supposed to develop awareness. So the fourth support is to support you to go into this awareness. Means relax. When I am relaxed physically, mentally, then I got nothing to do on this earth. Because if I am very tired, what must I do? I must relax into it, isn't it? And let the tiredness go away to natural process or recuperation, isn't it? Because if I don't have thought, there is no problem, no worry, no fear, nothing, no emotion. My mind becomes very quiet, resting. It's just aware. Then what happens? It does not interfere with the life force that come in. Then the life force that come in can be channeled into the nature, can be channeled to nourish your organ, to nourish your various activity within your physical. So that life force that come is not lost in thought, not dissipated in emotion, thinking and all those things. Well, when you think a lot, you consume a lot of energy. When you have fear, emotion, anger, hatred, you consume a lot of energy. That's how stress builds up. That's how people create stressful environment to cause mutation of their cells. That's why it becomes cancerous. It mutates and become abnormal cell. They call it abnormal cell. And this abnormal cell has negative vibration, negative tendency because of the fear, the insecurity, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the emotion that are very, very negative. So all this, when you don't have them, you become peaceful, tranquil. Then the activities slow down. Slow down, slow down, until the thought cannot arise, because you don't give it any more mental energy. Then whatever, suddenly you will realize the stillness inside that. Like everything is not moving. Like suddenly, I use the word, ping, miss, like it's settled down. No more movement. Really. Like I ring the bell, after the bell, ping, finish. Completely quiet. But no sound inside the anasana. It's that nature, no more chattering, no more thought process, no more sankhara activity and movement, everything slow down. You can feel that slowing down. Then you are just aware and relax. Then you realize your mind becomes very different. Very different. Then become very quiet and very still. That is the nature. That is your true mind, your silent mind. So what Jinhao should understand is ability to relax and maintain awareness, the first two support is very important. Just do that. Don't go and think. Don't go and like try to suppress or control or do anything to it. That's why I always use the word. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. When you try to know, you create thought. When you try to do, the thought is doing. These two is against awareness-based meditation. Why can't you continue to relax? Like I say, relax into every mind state that arises. Whatever arises, relax. Thought arises, relax. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Even tactile, upon contact to any of the senses. It can be hearing, smell, taste. The moment you're aware of it, finish. The moment you're aware of it, finish. That's why aware, finish. Aware, finish. Or continuously aware, aware, aware. Like you stay at the heart, it will maintain awareness there. Where the heartbeat is there, the awareness is there. So Kaya Nupasana is that movement and the awareness as one. Then when you are aware, you cannot think. That's why you have to stabilize it. Stabilize it. Then release it after that. Because when you stabilize it and you don't release it, it's still holding on to a point. There's nothing wrong with that because that is the initial training. But finally, it has to be developed until such stability that when you do not try to anchor it anywhere, the awareness is still there. That is the mind entering sati. Then when the mind enters sati, you become very different. Wherever you locate this awareness, it can detect one, the vibration. Every part in the brain, everywhere, you can detect it one. You become very sensitive. Then you can stay anywhere. That's why without the stethoscope, you can be aware of your heartbeat, your breathing, your whatever activity within your form and mind. So that is what you all have to understand and develop. Then during the retreat, you don't have to struggle to do all those things. Luckily, he reported, otherwise he was still continuing to struggle. Then when you come to sitting, it's the same. The sitting, most people don't realize. Sitting, actually, that posture when you cross your leg, you actually lock up your energy. The flow of qi has a lot of constriction at the place you bend. Then if you don't know how to relax, the qi cannot flow on its own. That's why you will develop pain and all this. But when you can relax, you realize everything fall into place. Then settle down. Then the qi flow. Even sitting also same. You know, when you are relaxed and aware, the qi become different. It become very subtle, very quiet. Then whatever you do, whether it's anapanasati or at the heart or what, the awareness is there. Then the mind settle down the same as lying down. Where you know how to relax and maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't do anything. It's the same. Whether sitting, walking, standing, or lying down, it's the same. No different. But you need to develop that stability until the sati become very stable. Then mind enters sati. Then all this become possible. Otherwise, initially, not easy. That's why I say it takes time. So don't worry. Continue with faith, persevere, and just relax when they the four support. Keep on doing. Don't try to progress. Forget about it. If your sati is not developed, not stabilized, forget about progress. Because what you know is most of the time still thought-based knowledge. Not to say entirely thought-based. It's some second-turning wisdom, contemplative, through reflection. And that one is the initial wisdom, will be there. That one will be developed. That it will help you, of course. But the stability of mindfulness, the bhavana maya panya, the third turning wisdom, that one is very penetrating, and that one needs a very stable awareness nature. The daily mindfulness needs to be very stable. And to do that, the spiritual faculty must be very stable, especially sati, accumulating into samadhi. Then when mind enters sati, the samadhi is the one that make the mind enter sati. Means you become very stable. Until that mind, you don't have to rest it anywhere. The mind on itself, when it enters sati, is tranquil and still. Like I used to share the second possibility. First is specific phenomenal awareness. The second one is what? Spacious awareness without a center. The mind becomes aware without a center. No need to rest anywhere. It doesn't have any dwelling. But it's one with the nature. That one realized you will become very beautiful. That one needs a lot of stability. You have to develop the stability awareness until even at the heart, the mind base there, you will come to know one. Suddenly one day it becomes so stable until you can like experience it as a free mind. This mind is free, but without thought. It don't have to stay anywhere. It can be one with nature. You want to know, you can know. Distant sound also, it can be aware there. then it can perceive, it can know the movement, the sound, very far, very, very far. These are normal. The mind can have the ability, but you must develop the meditative awareness, the stability of it, until all these are possible. Anyway, and then we can talk about this rhyme of meditative experience or possibility. Otherwise, we can't. But this is beyond thought. This is awareness based type of manifestation from that nature. This one, the scientists cannot understand. That they need instrument to probe. This one, the only instrument to probe is to silence everything and develop awareness nature. So unless they meditate with awareness-based meditation, they cannot probe. They cannot understand. The knowledge and understanding is very limited. That's why in the early sharing, I used to tell you, you can't find this in book. A lot of the things that I share is from the awareness nature that hardly anybody developed. The real awareness on that nature inside of. And not to say, to describe it and to talk about it, to explain and how to develop it. You need a lot of stability and understanding, and that nature, that form I might have to go through for very long. That's why my nature since 1989 until now is 30 over years, 33 years. Then the stability is very different, very, very different. Of course, it will continue to evolve. That's why I say, unless you have your special path, you cannot catch up one. Because you can never catch up one. Unless you know how to go into the nature, then develop that and inherit from your past, and you also have that path, and then you can maybe move at the same pace. But you need to catch up the 30 over years that I have. And the 30 over years is not to say I'm looking for thing or no. I have to learn or ask and search. No! The understanding already there at that time in 1989. That's why I have been doing non-stop until that mind, Monday mind collapse, then the nature shine for that. All the movement activity, the transformation, that's why my nature went through all this and understand all this. That's why I say it's ahead of time. People cannot understand this. There was no such teaching at all. And hardly anybody can understand. That's why I didn't do anything for the first 15 years. Then when you all came, even the first batch, Yu Yun Chan came in 2004. You all later on, the second batch came after 2004. I think 2008 is start from Sui An's house. Then it take me so many years before this teaching can really come to become what it is. Because the shift from the traditional thought-based type of teaching, we are method, technique, and whatever skillful means, to awareness-based meditation approach to develop the stability of awareness and to understand the two mind, to understand the Hui Ning's hallmark, the three hallmark of Hui Ning in the Mayana. It's not easy, not easy. But the beauty is everything just fall into place. The Heart Sutta, all the book, all the transcript, the teaching, they were there. And a lot of things that my nature awakened to, I share in the Heart Sutta. Then what I share now, which is the recorded video, they are mainly the awareness-based one, which you cannot find much in the Heart Sutta. The Heart Sutta is basic essential Dhamma for you to go through the sainthood way, to awaken, to prepare yourself for the Bodhisattva way. After that, the Bodhisattva way, you have to read the blue book. The Bodhisattva, there's a blue book. this one. You have to read this one, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. this movement. So this cultivating the Bodhisattva way is from four recorded talk, become direct translate. This one described in very good detail of how to develop the understanding of the Bodhisattva way and how to start the cultivation, plant the seed of Bodhi or Zing, make the vow, the yellow card and all this thing. From there, you will develop the progress and the understanding. Otherwise, it's not easy. Then, to really understand the Bodhisattva way's cultivation, you have to listen to my sharing of this earlier sutta, Wu Liang Yi Jing. The Wu Liang Yi Jing is the very important sutta. There are three sections, three chapters, major ones. The first one is virtue of great beings, the Bodhisattvas. That's why that sutta, the sutra of infinite meaning, that sutta is very important. The virtue of Bodhisattvas. To be a Bodhisattva, you must develop those virtues, which are so much more intense and complicated than the normal precepts. The virtues of Bodhisattva are very expensive. And after that is how to teach the Dhamma to living being, preaching of the Dhamma. That one also very, very important, very powerful. Then after that, you go on to the other sharing that I had given. What they call the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. This one also very important. But the Wu Liang Yi Jing is where all the teaching is. Then the third chapter of the Wu Liang Yi Jing, although it's talk about the 10 merits, this is not the 10 meritorious action, no. The 10 merits that Bodhisattvas do to become Sammasambuddha. No? So that whole lot of Wu Liang Yi Jing is actually the Bodhisattva practice. That's why all the short video that Jin Hao did at that time is very important. Very, very important. Because this one is, I actually share a lot of things. Then later on, the transcript that we did, the chapter 71 and on, that's why this all these transcripts, they are very important. They are actually the Bodhisattva way. There are a lot of the things that I share during the Q&A and other things about the meditation thing that a few Kayamita were able to do, like Alicia, they all, Indy, they all, and even Poching and many other. And when there is condition, then I start to share. Then if you listen to it attentively, even song also, you will find them. But now it's like another evolution, another like transformation of consciousness is happening, especially this coming silent temple stay. Or we call it the temple stay, it's actually indirectly an official slot where we got from Pachan Supo, which we are very grateful for us to have this silent temple stay, to have the 8 or 9 days of so-called temple stay where we will develop the understanding further. And this one, because they limit our numbers, the 20 or 21 of them, this one is very different because everyone that goes fulfill the condition and have the understanding. Then I don't have to, like last time, cater for new people, all those things, elaborate on a lot of the basic essential demand. Now I can move faster. Then the explanation all will be different. But for those not going, you don't have to worry too, because it will be recorded. Yeah? But we can't promise you whether there is any Zoom or not. There is very troublesome in the internet. There is not stable and all. But don't worry. We will make sure it's recorded. Yeah? Then we will have them shared After that thing, then when Jin Hao, my daughter, they all able to finally the other Kayamitas who have up, able to clean it up and develop the sharing together with Sui An Liao. Then Sui An every time will save everything into a, you call that one, MP3 or one. Not MP3. That one is what? The memory stick. Memory card. That one where you plug in on is called what? No. You have the storage on. USB. No, the USB. The USB itself. Oh, he normally buy a very big one. Oh, to store the whole retreat talk. One retreat over one. Oh, don't know how many gig, I forgot it. Then you can listen the whole of the, in fact, the earlier on sharing also, you have to listen, especially the people who are new, who want to learn all this. You listen to the retreat one, you will learn a lot. You will learn very fast. Then for us this time, a lot of you will transform. The awareness-based meditation, the stability and understanding of it will become very different this time around. So we better come back to Jin Hao. So now, Jin Hao, you remember, first thing, learn how to relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it. Then, whether sitting, lying down or what, no different. You will settle in very fast. Then the stability of the spiritual faculty, very important. So when you have this understanding, it becomes much easier. Then you continue with your second part, sharing.
Yeah, brother, what you say was is very true, is it? The relaxation come by part and part, is it? And deep and deeper. And during these retreats, when I say that it provide a condition for me to listen to your talk again in the very attentive way, I realized that a lot of talk that you mentioned a lot of times, like Four Noble Truths and all these things. And suddenly I have a deeper understanding.
Yeah.
Especially like when you say that the reason why that we have suffering, all these things, is because the attachment. And suddenly the attachment is so strong, you know, the words is like hit on me. It was like, yeah. And this was never before, was it? So I noticed that it's like the understanding is sometimes it needs conditions and it takes time, and then by layer and layer it goes deeper and deeper, you see. And the other thing is like, and I was having a lot of sankhara and all these things, and then thinking in the past and thinking in the futures. Then suddenly I wake up that reason why that I have all this thought about thinking about the past and future is because I didn't I'm not able to accept where I am now, you see. So again, this contemplation, you know, hit up again. It's like, yeah, the acceptance of, you know, it's so important and so powerful, you see.
Because your mindfulness is not stable enough to see what is happening. Your thought is still active behind. You don't see the thought that has the craving, the attachment, wanting to be peaceful, wanting to be calm, wanting to settle down. All these are craving. When there is craving, your mind cannot settle down. Where there is the desire, and what created it? The thought. So acceptance is what your reasoning, your reflective understanding will tell you, which is not bad. But don't cling onto the word acceptance without understanding what acceptance is. To accept means what? To accept means to agree. To be with it means no more question. No more asking, I must be like that. I must not be like that. The must and must not is the reasoning. It's how you try to like analyze. Like you say, you suddenly awaken to a truth that, which is correct, is a contemplative understanding that I cannot accept the moment what is. But that word is very deep. It's not a concept for you to When you think it's a concept for you to attack, then every time you say, yeah, lah, I still cannot accept. And this, it's like the precept. Yeah, lah, I still cannot hold that precept. Because there will be something behind. Because something that conditioned you into that deluded state to do other things. But acceptance means not to allow the thought to come in and tell you a story from behind. Means, finish. The reality is, this moment, what am I doing? Am I peaceful? Am I aware? That's why you must meditate with understanding. Understanding means what? Am I training my mind to be aware? Stabilizing it to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, leading to him. If I do that, I am home. So meditation is the same. When you want to meditate, you ask yourself, what am I doing? Am I training my mind to be aware? To do that, I need the four support. Am I relaxed? These are more important. If I am relaxed and able to maintain the silence, means I accept ready, understand? It's no more the word. Then when I am relaxed, I am not reacting, I'm not trying to do anything. Means that is real acceptance. Real acceptance means no more reasoning, no more analyzing, no more trying to say, I must do this, I must do that, I must not do this, I must. Forget about it. Acceptance means you go back to basic. The fourth support is relax. Am I relaxed? If I am relaxed, I don't need anything. Understand? I don't have problem. That's why I am relaxed. I'm at ease. I don't crave. I don't desire. That's why I am relaxed. Am I maintaining awareness? Awareness means what? I just silence my mind. Am I silent? If I am not silent, thinking and creating all this, then you know you are doing without understanding. Then the word come in, the concept come in. Then every time the word and the concept come in, the thought is lingering behind. You may not see because you lack awareness, you lack the step. But when you are aware, this thought movement become very clear. Then after that, it cannot move. Because all this is what they call the byproduct of our nature. They come, they go, they arise, they pass away. If I am living life, I need thought, I use thought. If I am not living life, why must I use thought? When I am meditating, I relax, maintain awareness. I don't want to know. I don't want to do. I don't want to arise anything. I just relax, maintain awareness. Just do that. Then the whole thing will come. Then the understanding will come. Then you don't have to go through all this. They call it the what? Yan Wang Lu, one on floor. In English is one, for the benefit of PG. Yan Wang Lu is what is the English one? The division. The division. But the Yan Wang, what type of division? Not supposed to debate one. Yin Wong, I think the Cantonese, you know, one on law. One on law. My kia one on law. Yin Wong Lu. It's not supposed to walk that way, understand? Why you go and do all those thought based and deluded, heedless way of doing things? We have a choice, our life. We hold the key to our life's destiny, to be happy or to be unhappy. It's our choice. To live the life of heedful living or heedless living is our choice. So we learn to develop the choice through understanding. Then we meditate. We train our mind to develop the realization of that heedful way of living. When your spiritual faculty are there, when your sati and samadhi is there, then you are heedful. All the time aware, mindful, relaxed. Silent, tranquil, still. Like the Wu Liang Yi Jing, the mind of the Bodhisattva. And also the Heart Sutta at the back also. What is the trained mind and the untrained mind? The appendix is very important also. You have to read through that. The Thursday class, I think I will share that already in the next one. So that one is very important. You can understand that, it will help a lot. Then through understanding, you develop the cultivation, you progress very fast. Okay, so this one is very important. What you reflect or contemplate is good, but that one is still at the contemplative level, which I realize is a bit slow. And for you, it takes you a long time to come to even that stage. Actually, that stage for people who have the past, they skim through very fast. Then because they listen attentively, they understand, they just do. Like Bo Cheng Li or Gong Gong, very good one. Gong Gong at home. Yeah? Not so conditioned. Not so much conditioning from other teaching and all those things. He just follow instruction with clarity. And he just do. I say relax, he just relax. I say aware, he just aware. He don't have all the funny things. Huh? Why like that? Am I doing it correct? Yeah, no. You see the difference in the thing. And how people, when they do with understanding, by being simple, not complicated, they learn very fast. So if your thought comes in and say, aya, cannot be like that, lah. Cannot be so easy, lah. You must, then you go and create all the things that you hear. People say you must work all day and night, non-stop. You know? I mean, everyone is different. Why you are talking about all this without understanding? You are quoting what people tell you, what you hear. But it is not true a realization. Why can't you start with a clean slate by telling yourself, I don't know anything. I find out. I relax, maintain awareness, and find out. Investigate. Then you will understand. You keep on understanding. Yeah. If you don't do this, the thought become active, come back through the back door, it keep on lingering behind and create all this movement that you cannot see. So all this that you have gone through, luckily today you ask and you share, that it will help you, because after I explain, it become easier to understand. Hopefully it will be useful.
Sadhu.
You got anything or not to just wrap up?
Yeah, I think that's all for my sharing.
Okay. Very good. So listen to this again when you come back. It will really help. And other cultivator too, or Kiyamita who maybe are still going through the training or still struggling, good to become mindful and peaceful like Joey that day, and like a dog, she said she tried. And I realized what she said is very true. If I don't go there and speak direct to them, cannot go in or no. They listen to the video, so no use. You realize, they realize you don't attend class, you don't have interaction with them, cannot go in or somehow. Even your interact direct also, not everyone has that pass or ability. But now the consciousness is different. Many of you are different. You have transformed. So that's why things are happening. So my nature also rejoices. But those who don't come to the class or don't have direct interaction with my nature, like if I don't go down to Black Girl, I feel like they cannot even understand what I hear. They can go and listen to my video, no use on, unless I am there to actually share and make the to the Q&A. The Q&A, without the Q&A, there is no way you can learn, because you have to clear up your doubt and your misunderstanding. And this way, the awareness based on, there is no book to guide you on. You need to be in that state to understand. That is from the silent mind, the awareness nature, that all this manifests. So you cannot hold on to any knowledge, prior knowledge, to understand it. So with this understanding, hopefully people will diligently develop the cultivation true understanding. As you understand what this thing is, awareness-based meditation is to develop the stability of awareness. Then, am I training my mind to be aware? Am I stabilizing it to become ever mindful, leading to heedfulness? Then, am I using the four support correctly? Am I relaxed? First thing is to inquire, am I relaxed? Then learn the relaxation like Jin Hao came to know, even Song also came to know. That word relax got many, many deep meaning, many, many layers of relaxation. You think you relax already, you are still not relaxed. Then you haven't developed the understanding and the wisdom behind relaxation. Until you really relax, then you will come to know what I mean. Is completely without stress, without the slightest tension or stress. It's like completely free and relaxed. That is relaxed. And it can go very deep until the thought is all no more. Then that body and the body is just like fluid, echo and flow. No movement, nothing. Just still, tranquil, relaxed. It's not tense. No, nothing. Then am I aware? Relax with awareness, you won't sleep. Listen to this. Relax with awareness, you won't sleep. Relax without awareness, very fast you sleep. Initially, okay. That's why you snore first. When you want to go into the unconscious or subconscious, you snore first. The body will signal to you. Then because you are aware before it goes into that state, that's why straight away you maintain awareness. Then after that, you go into that subconscious or unconscious again. Okay, you hear your snoring. Initially, you have to go through that phase many times, many times. Never mind. Then when you know you're very tired, you need to rest, you need to sleep, then just sleep. Then forget about the awareness thing. Where your body needs rest, you rest. Not until you know how to relax and maintain awareness and at the same time rest and recuperate. Means you hardly sleep. And it can be done during retreat time. Yeah. So these are the important understandings. I think we better end till 10:38 today. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now share merits. Then we will do the closing puja. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu lokasasana etta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sat sampati siddhiya Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatu kalena sasu sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca Raja bhavatu dhammiko Emina punyam kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu 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 Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kumi Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones, then we will end the whole session, the Zoom session.